Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. And we turn to our colleague Bruce Bechtel, author of North Korean Military Proliferation in the Middle East, Africa, Enabling Violence and Instability. He's a professor at Angelo State University, and he watches North Korea weapon systems. In these last days, the observation is made that North Korea is going ahead to develop its nuclear arsenal because the world is focused on the threats from Moscow of nuclear weapons, either tactical or strategic. The world is focused on the war in Europe, not on the provocations of North Korea. Are these provocations, or is this the scale of threat that Vladimir Putin is routinely voicing these days? Bruce, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Kim Jong-un, he's been through 2 years of pandemic. There was the question of his health, and there was the question of his weight loss, and now there's the question of his threats. He's making threats. I believe his sister is making threats with nuclear weapons. There is a new administration coming in the Blue House. Well, not in the Blue House, in Seoul, not using the Blue House. These threats from Kim Jong-un, is there something new about them that we need to pay attention to? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and good evening, Gordon. There is nothing new about the nuclear threat you're talking about. I think that whether Putin invaded Ukraine or not, there would have probably been a nuclear test this year, because nuclear tests almost always inevitably follow ICBM tests. That's the modus operandi of the North Koreans. So that's to be expected. And it's to be expected also because we're in the second year of the Biden administration and because there's been no talks. That's also something that we always see in the North Korean packet. So this is something that we should expect. I think the only reason the North Koreans have not detonated another nuclear weapons test is because the tunnel's probably not ready yet at Pyongyi, the location where they test these weapon systems. And two, because they want to make sure that this weapon is bigger and more lethal than any of the other weapons tests have been. Otherwise, what are they proving, right? So I think what's holding them back has been those two things. The readiness of the site itself, which they've been getting ready for several months now, and the readiness of a weapon that will actually make the world sit back and go, ooh, ah, we've got to do something about that. And the timing is good, because Yoon has now been sworn in as the ROK president. So now that we're seeing that, as soon as they're ready, as soon as that nuclear weapon is ready, they're probably going to detonate it. And it's probably going to be either a very much larger test than it was even last time, which some analysts said was about 200 kilotons, or it will be the test of a smaller but more lethal weapon that shows the world they can put it on top of a ballistic missile.
Gordon, is Beijing watching Pyongyang with these threats? Does it signify that China's going through this very bad patch of shutdowns, lockdowns, collapsing economy, and what you'd have to say is the bad acting in the whole neighborhood? Do they pay attention to Pyongyang?
Well, they always pay attention to the Kim family, but as you point out, John, the leadership in Beijing must be distracted by severe problems at home. They've got the COVID lockdowns causing a contraction of the economy. And of course, there's intense political infighting because this is supposed to be the year of the 20th National Congress, where Xi Jinping wants a precedent-breaking third term as general secretary. So I suspect that they're pretty much like us. They always pay attention to what the North Koreans are doing, but they really, the North Koreans are now considered, both in Beijing and in Washington, really as, I hope they don't get to the top of the inbox type of problem.
You have a question for Bruce.
Bruce, You mentioned the 200-kiloton device that the North Koreans detonated last time. What do you expect for them to do this time? Because it would seem to me that, as you point out, one of the ways for them to go is actually a smaller device, which they can then mount on one of their intercontinental ballistic missiles. And it would seem to me that that would be more frightening to us than, let's say, a larger test.
Well, that's a very good question. And I think that's the question right now leading up to the test, because there's no way for us to know which one of those things it will be before they test it, right? If it's a smaller device, remember, we know that the North Koreans actually got the design from the Pakistanis for a 500-kilogram warhead for a ballistic missile. You and I have talked about this probably dozens of times. Have they advanced beyond that device? If not, and if they're going to be testing something that is exactly what that looks like, it probably would be a smaller test, and then they would be able to turn to that. But there would have to be something that shows us, shows the world, that that is in fact why the test is smaller and not bigger, because this is something that would be used for a ballistic missile that would be capable of striking nations outside of Asia. You see what I mean? So I think there's a good chance they could do either or, but if I was a betting man, I would say they're going to go for the larger test simply to show the world that they have that capability. So it'll be interesting. Whatever they do, these nuclear tests are obviously for two things. One is to continue to advance their nuclear program, and the other is to create brinkmanship, you know, in the international community simply by showing their nuclear capability. So the test is definitely going to happen. It'll be interesting to see how the test goes.
The Associated Press is reporting in these last days from Seoul, North Korea flight tested a ballistic missile that was likely fired from a submarine, continuing a provocative streak in weapons demonstration, writes the AP. Is this anything new? They've fired from a submarine before. I remember a picture from some years past, but before the pandemic, of Kim Jong-un on a submarine, pointing into the near distance. Is this a fresh missile they've tested, Bruce?
It looks like it could be. It looks like it's out of the Pogoksong series, which is the series of SLBMs, all ballistic missiles, that the North Koreans have fired and tested. So it could be simply an upgrade of one of the Pogoksong missiles that they have successfully, as you said, fired in the past. And as you said from the news release, this missile launch was successful. The problem that this missile launch had was after the missile was fired successfully, then the submarine engine broke down and they had to tow the submarine back to port. So there's an issue with the submarine. And as you and I discussed just a few minutes ago offline, the North Koreans have one and only one submarine that is capable of launching a ballistic missile, at least for now. So that one and only submarine had engine problems after this first test. And when you combine that with the fact that a couple of months ago, they conducted a test of what many think was their new Hwasong-17 ballistic missile, the one that can hit New York, and that one blew up over Pyongyang. So they've had a little bit of trouble, I would say more than a little bit of trouble, with their ballistic missile tests over the past couple of months.
Gordon?
Bruce, on Monday, South Korea has a new president, Yoon Suk-yeol, who is called conservative-leaning, wants to develop closer relations with Washington and move away from both Pyongyang and Beijing. When Yoon was inaugurated in his speech, he talked about outreach to North Korea. It would seem to me that any sort of test, whether we're talking missile or a nuke, would be a rebuke to Seoul. How do you view this?
Well, I would agree with you on that, Gordon. It is a rebuke to Seoul. What the North Koreans have always done, as you know, is when we have a new American president, usually within a year or so, with Trump it was much less, we usually see missile and nuclear tests. And when we get a new ROK president, we usually see tests right away. And so we're seeing that already, I think, where, as you know, the missile test we just saw. That was probably the first of, or it's one of several, but it's probably not the last. There'll probably be more SLBM tests. There's likely to be another, at least one more ICBM test. And of course, the nuclear test is going to happen too. That is the normal modus operandi for the North Koreans when a new ROK president comes into power.
Bruce, a detail here. In the early days of the Trump administration, the early year of the Trump administration, there was much talk about an accommodation with North Korea. And it all went away. It was a disappointment. Is there talk now again about an accommodation or some kind of arrangement with North Korea? Is there anything equivalent to the six-party talks of many years past? That must be more than two decades now reaching back. Or instead, is North Korea just regarded as such a bad actor, nobody's talking to them?
Well, I think both the American government and the ROK government want to talk to North Korea. I think they also, including the Biden administration, I think they would like to see the rogue state behavior of North Korea seized or at least tamped down, and we have not seen that. As you know, when Trump actually ended up talking to Kim Jong-un, he did make one minor concession, and that was he stopped ICBM tests and nuclear tests. Obviously, that's done. So I think what we're seeing now from the South Koreans is that the new Yoon government is going to have a far more practical, a far more pragmatic attitude and policy approach to the North Koreans than their predecessors had, which means if they're going to have talks, it's going to be more from a position of strength than a position of giving the North Koreans almost everything they want. As for the Biden administration, I hate to say this, but you know, it's been over a year. It's been almost a year and a half now since they've been in power. We keep seeing things in the press about the Biden administration's North Korea policy, but we haven't really seen them take any action. We've seen a few gratuitous sanctions from the Treasury Department on their cyber activities, for example, but not a lot. And it's starting to look dangerously like what Obama's policy was for the last 5 years of his administration. I hope that's not the case, but it certainly seems to be something that the Biden administration is moving toward.
Bruce Bechtel, author of North Korean Military Proliferation in the Middle East and Africa, Enabling Violence and Instability. He's a professor at Angelo State University. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone, Newsweek and The Hill. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.